From the reading that we had from the book of Acts, Peter stood with the 11, lifted up his voice, and he addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God raised Jesus and has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to encourage them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." And those who accepted Peter's message that day were baptized. About 3,000 were added to that number, to their numbers that day. It seems like an odd reading because, as some of you who know the Bible, even sort of, okay, know that Acts 2 is about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The early Christian church being born, so to speak. You know, you've got the rushing of the wind, the coming of the Holy Spirit, landing on the apostles, tongues of fire, all that kind of stuff. Well, here we have a continuation of that. But in our church, at least, we normally hear readings that have to do with Easter yet. He is risen. Very good. Even you know we're still in the Easter season. But here in the book of Acts, chapter 2, I think one of the reasons we have this reading is because it says, "You crucified the Lord, but God raised him from the dead." Therefore, you've got the death, Good Friday, and the resurrection, Easter morning, kind of tied in together here as the foundation, the purpose, and the reason for why the church exists. Not necessarily so much the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but the message that the Holy Spirit would bring and use with the church for the continuation, the ongoing journey throughout the world of Jesus. So it's a little bit odd. But there's something even, I think, more so odd, maybe even confusing, in this reading. Now, just think about this for a moment. I'll give it to you. And you try to fathom it. That day, 3,000 were added to their number. I'll let that kind of sink in. Okay, try it again. 3,000 were added to their number. Have you ever seen something like that? 3,000 added to their number. There are other places where numbers are used in the Scripture kind of like this. In fact, next week, if you gather with us, the reading that follows this is kind of a continuation of this church. And then it mentions, "And their numbers grew daily." Notice here, 3,000 in one day, next week, daily, their numbers increased. That sunk in yet? Are you having problems with it? I do. And I think maybe it's because I've been a pastor for so long. Sometimes that's not so good. You get a little cynical as you get older. And if you're a pastor in the ministry, the older you get, you kind of get a little bit more. You're fighting with doubt, and you're fighting with practicality and reality. Do we have any elderly people here today that have that struggle? By the way, that's probably become you because you become more fixed in your ways. Do we have anybody who's kind of stickler in their ways, doesn't want to change? It's tough. It's tough. I think part of it is because I doubt numbers. I really do. For example, numbers can be used to say just about anything you want to say. For example, as some of you know, I've got this ongoing thing with the ear. And so I keep having to go back to the doctor, and they take the next step, and the next step, and the next step. You know the first thing they do when I get to the hospital or to the clinic? You know what the first thing they do is? They take me by the hand, and they lead me over to the scale, and they weigh me. What does that have to do with my ears? I don't get it. Until, and this is the part I like, I get on the scale, and I see what my weight is. Last time I weighed myself, I was 93. I like that number. But then the nurse there always says, do you want to know what that is in pounds? No, I like 93. Leave it alone. See, numbers can be used that way. And numbers, I think, impact us differently in different ways, too. For example, I was talking to an elderly fellow in the congregation, and I told him, my birthday is coming up. And I said, I'm going to be 56 years old, and I'm really feeling it. He laughed at me and said, I'm 92. I'm often asked by people out there in the community, how big is your church? And I tell them, 10,000 square feet. I say, the average weight of my membership is 250 pounds. We're all 6'2". And the answer is, do you have Packer players, you know, in your congregation? How big is your church? See, you can use numbers to say just about anything you want. And in fact, it could be used for propaganda, couldn't it? Sure it could, and often is. For example, I have a friend who's a Baptist, and he's been baptized, I think it's going on 6 times. And each time his congregation adds him as a person who has now become a Christian. And I love the guy, but I don't get it. Doesn't make sense. You know, propaganda. Somebody might come and say, well, how big is your church? Well, do you want me to give the baptized membership, the confirmed membership, the voter membership? Do you want me to tell you how many people are here on any given Sunday at 9 o'clock? Or do you want me to add into that the Wednesday service too? Perhaps, you know, I have chapel on Wednesday and Thursday morning with the little ones. Do you want me to add that chapel number into that? I could. How about our little gatherings for Bible study that we have with small groups? Could that be considered a little kind of a worship time? And we pray, we read the scripture, we talk about it, we get informed. The only thing we don't do is take an offering. Let's start doing that. That's the thing with numbers. And so I know over time that, you know, you look at the roster, you look at who's in church, and you try counting people and taking numbers, but it's like counting minnows in a bucket. Have you ever tried to do that? Say you got 3 dozen minnows in a bucket, and you're checking it out to see if the guy who sold them to you was right. Now you're trying to count 36 minnows swimming around in a bucket. My goodness, it's impossible. Congregations are not static. They're dynamic. They're constantly changing. Do you know, for this reason, there's a whole heck of a lot of congregations and churches out there these days that don't actually keep such numbers? They don't have a roster. They don't believe in it. They don't keep track of baptized membership. Baptized membership isn't important to them. They don't even count the number of people that are in worship because it's too confusing. A lot of these churches are quite large. Let me ask you another question about numbers like that. Is a church that worships 3,000 people more spiritual than a church that worships 50. Really? Then why don't we talk about the church that worships 50 and not the one that worships 3,000? Oh, that church is so big. Look how grand. 3,000 people in worship. We don't talk about that wonderful little church that worships 50. Do you realize, too, that there's something called the migration of the saints? Have you ever heard that? In other words, there's a whole mess of people out there in our community that really just migrate from congregation to congregation and keep moving around like minnows in a bucket. I wonder, I bring it all up because I really wonder if our churches are truly growing. Not just Bethlehem, but all of them. With all this weird and difficult stuff to try to organize is out there, is the Christian church at large, the one holy Christian church, really growing? Or have we complicated it so much, not only because there's so many different denominations, but just the competition that we have between denominations, if that hasn't confused it? And I bring this up for another reason. When you look at numbers, they have an emotional impact on us. They do, especially in our churches. If our numbers are big and just like a mushroom, how do we feel about ourselves? Pretty darn good. I must be doing something right, right? But what if they're dwindling and not growing? How do we feel about ourselves? Not so good. And in fact, that's when we start to play the blame game. Somebody else's fault. Or for this to be corrected, somebody else will have to do it. That's the game we play with ourselves, and it's really a lot about numbers. Think about it. Are numbers a good thing, or are numbers, can they be a bad thing? By the way, sometimes numbers are a good thing, aren't they? They can help us to define and evaluate what we need to do as a group to do a better job. Perhaps we're lax in somewhere, place, and perhaps we have a strength somewhere that we need to build up. That could be a good thing. Numbers are a bad thing when we let the devil fake us out. When we look at numbers and we give up. Or we look at numbers and we pat ourselves on the back and we say, what a good job I'm doing. Rather than giving all glory to God. And all God's people say, oh man, it happens, folks. So I get to the text for today again, you know, about 3,000 were added to their numbers daily. Is that false? Should we be cynical about that? Disbelieve it? You know why? It's in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, it's absolute. It's a truth. About that many people really were added to their number. It's not like today where people have a hold on things and are using numbers and trying to, maybe some of them be accurate, but some of them may be using it as propaganda. I don't know. We have to ask questions today, but we don't have to ask questions about that. That's true. I should be pointing that way. You don't know what I'm pointing at. That we know is an absolute. We thank God for that. But I think it tells us we have to be honest about who we are. And I think it tells us we need to be honest about how we look at where we're going. The formula in the scripture for today is quite simple. Peter preached the gospel. He said, you people were the reason Christ was crucified. You led the Lord of life to the cross. You crucified him. Of course, Peter was quite honest with them as to how they did that and who Jesus was as the promised Messiah, God's one and only Son, as well as true man. Peter was honest with them, just told them this. And by work of the Holy Spirit, these men repented. They were sorry for this. They believed in Jesus. They were willing to amend their life and become Christ-like and Christian. They were baptized. There we have who we are. The preaching of the gospel, the searching of people for repentance, baptism. By the way, there's one thing in the church we can count and know for sure God has done something special. Baptism. You can't fake it. You bring somebody forward, you wash them with the water and the word, you add it to your number. God does what God promises to do in that baptism. The promise is for you and your children who are far off. Baptize all people. Be about that work. At least then, you got a number you can rely on and work on, because we take the baptized and we continue to teach them in Sunday school and adult Bible studies and continue to strengthen them in the Lord. I like objective things like that. When you start talking subjective about what's in the heart, I have to shut up. Pastors don't like to shut up. Yeah, I don't know what's in the heart. All I can do is give you what I know for sure God has promised that we should use. Go ye therefore unto all nations, doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And doing what? Teaching them all that Jesus commanded. Perception means a lot to our world today, doesn't it? Success is so important to our culture today. And it drives us as people. We want to be successful. We want this great perception about ourselves. But sometimes that trumps who we really ought to be. People of Jesus. Because Jesus was all about us. Sometimes we have to put away some of these things that are faking us out and continue to walk the course that Jesus told us to walk as a church. And don't discredit God in all of that. So to encourage you today, I'll read you another small portion of the scripture. I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God. Did you catch the number? A great multitude. Where did that multitude come from? In heaven. Well, obviously, somebody was doing the right thing on earth. God's church was. And if they're in heaven, somebody shared Jesus, right? To the number, a great multitude. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Isn't that what we're all about? Sure it is. Don't let things get too twisted. Don't let the devil fake you out. Rely on what God has given and be joyful He has given it. Love your church, love Jesus, and love those who are without Christ. Real simple things. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Amen.